The author of the book, Brady versus Belichick, The Dynasty Debate, Gary Myers joins us on the show. How much does UNC play into how people see Bill Belichick versus Tom Brady? And do the two even talk to each other anymore? Find out with Gary Myers on the emerging podcast scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free 92.3 The Fan Extra.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by the wonderful people of Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Owen is with me. Lima is not, because we're about to have Gary Myers on. He's the author of Brady versus Belichick, The Dynasty Debate. He's a New York Times bestselling author. I've read Gary Myers' books before. He's written basically the best Brady Manning book that anybody could find. So if you're a fan of the NFL, if you're a fan of books, Gary Myers is one of the very best to ever do it. So if anybody's interested in that, please go right on ahead, because It's very, very good. And I think that today, of all days, as we get Gary on the line here, today of all days is the best day to do it, when Bill Belichick went out and had the type of opener that he had with UNC last night. So that's definitely got to be something that's brought up, and whether or not this at all is a referendum on his time in the NFL or his time as a head coach. Because if there's anybody who does know, it's Gary Myers. Let's go to the hotline and we welcome in, if we're able to take him. Gary, do you have us?
I do.
Gary, wonderful to have you. You are the host. Again, I said it again. You are the author of Brady versus Belichick, The Dynasty Debate, which we had this scheduled since last week. I didn't think that things would go the way they did with UNC. How many times have you been asked that today? Do you roll your eyes? Does that play anything? Does Belichick's UNC tenure have anything to do with the dynasty between the two, Brady versus Belichick?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that was his worst nightmare last night. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, got off to a great start. I don't think that has anything more to do with it than, quite truthfully, in the Tampa years, would Brady had anything to do with it, or what happened in New England after Brady left had anything to do with it. You know, the premise of my book is really, you know, who deserves the credit for what they did together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what they did separately, it might convince people that it was, you know, more Brady than they thought. But in my mind, it's kind of irrelevant to the argument.
You interviewed a lot of players, a lot of coaches, that went against him. You have former executives as well in this book. I mean, Ernie mm-hmm. Accorsi, Bill Polian, a lot of these guys have a lot of respect around the league. What was the impetus to want to write the book? What spurred it? Was it just because of the overall debate that's gone on for the last couple of decades now between the two, or for fans between the two and figuring it out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the greatest unanswered question in NFL history is who deserves the credit, and how do you split it up between the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback? And, you know, I worked for the New York Daily News all those years, I spent an awful lot of time in New England covering the Patriots, you know, especially in the playoffs. And it was just a question that I was really intrigued by. I was curious, you know, what Tom's teammates and players who played for Belichick and guys who coached against them, executives who tried to outsmart them, you know, what they thought about it. And how do you really figure out who deserves what? I think the way it ended, Tom's NFL career, his playing career, and Belichick's NFL coaching career, there's a lot of recency bias that's gone into the argument, because a lot of people think, you know, what happened when they were apart from 2020, you know, for the next few years, really is the deciding point in what happened together. But I really think that, you know, and if you do it like that, then it's overwhelmingly Brady. But I think if you really evaluate their 20 years together, early on, you have to give it to Belichick, because he drafted him. He kept Tom as a four-string quarterback. He kept him as a starter when Bledsoe was healthy about 2 months after he gotten hurt in 2001. He developed him. So this, it wasn't like they had the first pick in the draft and it was John Elway and they go, well, we knew he was going to be great. This was a sixth round quarterback who was picked 199th. Belichick's got to get some credit for that. So I think that the early years, belong to Belichick for the most part. And certainly I would say the last, 14 or 13 years together, I think, Brady dominated years.
Well, if we're doing the six championships, maybe the first three go to Bill and the last three go to Tom, because I do believe that great coaches, like, there is a shelf life there. And, like, have you seen any of the America's Team documentary at all, or have you been too busy, Gary?
No, I've seen a little bit of it, and I kind of lived part of it because I worked in Dallas from 81 to 89 covering the Cowboys, and I was there when Jerry bought the team. Now, I moved back to New York in May of 89, but the parts that I've seen so far, I kind of lived it. I honestly don't know where the documentary goes from there, if it's just about their dominant teams of the 90s or it goes to the present time. But I also did a book on the Cowboys a few years ago called How About Them Cowboys, which was really about, the whole Jerry Jones era. So I'm familiar with a lot of that material. So I know that was a long answer to have you seen any of it, but what was going to be your question?
Well, because it's a recent documentary and this book is coming out about Brady and Belichick, but the whole thing of it, I think of it where, and Tom Landry's not around anymore to defend himself. So who knows how much of this is real. And I'm sure some of this is, but some of it is artistic license of some sort where, NFL Films is part of the people putting it together. Jerry Jones is very strong in the NFL. But, when they're saying Tom Landry was forgetting players and falling asleep in meetings and things like that, I don't know how far I believe of all that. But I also think that, Tom Landry was still probably a much better head coach in the 1970s than he was in 1988. And I look at Belichick and I go, forget the UNC stuff. I'm willing to say he was probably a much better coach in the early 2000s than he was in 2024, 2023, or 2022, I should say. I think that's a natural time where you're a head coach for 20 years. Like, yeah, things change and you got to keep up with them. And it's almost impossible to keep up with them, especially in the NFL, where you can't just go out and recruit the best players. There's a lot of change that happens there. And so I think we got something where Tom Brady physically could still do it. His mind was sharper, but Bill Belichick is still 30 years older than Tom Brady is. Like, it's tough to stay sharp that long at that level.
Well, Ken, you make some good points. I think the downfall of Belichick in New England wasn't so much his coaching, it was his general managering, that's the word, because he was in charge of all the personnel, and that's where they really fell off. Brady took below-market contracts all those years to allow Belichick, flexibility under the cap to bring in free agents and players to surround Brady with, and I think his personnel acumen, wasn't as good towards the end of the dynasty as it was at the beginning. And certainly his drafts weren't as good. And he became more reliant on Brady to raise the level of average players than early in his career, when those rosters that New England had from, say, 2003 to at least through 07, 08, 09, those are really good rosters, with a lot of excellent players. And that wasn't the case the second half of the dynasty. So I still think Belichick is a really good coach. But I think where things fell apart in New England were personnel-wise, which was his fault. And now he's in a situation in North Carolina where this is all new to him. And obviously the landscape has changed so much in college football for all coaches with NIL and the transfer portal. It's either going to be the downfall of him because he's not going to be able to figure it out, or it's going to be a quick path to prominence in college football because he's going to be able to figure it out and guys are going to want to play for him. But last night was about the worst thing he could have imagined in terms of being able to get players there both, you know, high school kids and then in the transfer portal after the season, even though it's Bill Belichick, if they finish, you know, 3-whatever this year, his name is not going to be the drawing card for players to come to. He's got to win. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of pressure on him. I mean, his legacy is not at stake, but his ability to win at North Carolina certainly is at stake, depending on what happens this season.
It was everything for me not to do this, Gary. Gary Myers joining us on the show. He is the author of Brady versus Belichick, The Dynasty Debate. Speaking real quick about last night, it was everything I could. I have a friend whose son is committed to UNC for next year. And I couldn't. I had to help myself, and I didn't want to. I wanted to relent, and at some point, maybe I do, where I go, do you watch this and maybe rethink of things? Do you look at this and go, you know, it's mid-level ACC. Could I get mid-level ACC somewhere else? Do I believe he's going to be here for the long haul now? Does it matter anymore with NIL? You know, those are questions that I kind of want to ask. I'm like, nah, I want to take some time because it's still only his first game and they got Charlotte and Richmond. But, man, very concerning stuff. And I'm trying not to buy into the Jordan Hudson stuff, like the craziness that's gone on. Like, hey, man, 74-year-old guys are going to like 24-year-old women. It's been going on for a long time and it'll continue. But some of the stuff that's said, it just seemed to be such a confirmation out of one game for everybody. That it does. It concerns me about, like, okay, well, like, they still have $40 million more to pay on that after this season. How much longer would he be there?
Yeah, I think we have a tendency, definitely in the NFL, and we're seeing it now in college football, to make long-term judgments based on short-term results. Like, all of a sudden, Arch Manning is a bust. Mm-hmm. He goes from being the first pick in the draft next year, if he was to come out, which I don't think he will, to, you know, being a bust and people, you know, questioning, well, is it just a Manning name? I mean, let's relax a little bit on that. And the same thing with Belichick. I mean, if you get 70 new players or whatever it is, it's, I know, something like that, it's not all going to come together in 1 week, even against it. I don't even know how good TCU is this year. You know, I don't really follow that part of it that closely. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, you know, Belichick can't coach anymore, and it's a bad fit, and he's not going to be able to recruit and this and that. Let's relax a little bit and let them play a few games. Now, if they win 3 games this year, then I think we can wonder about what's going on, because this is a handpicked team on his part. I don't know how many returning players they have, but you'll see what happens after the first week of games in the NFL this weekend. You know, the sky is falling for every team that loses. The season is over, and any team that wins is, oh my God, you know, this could be a Super Bowl year. And then they, you know, they get the opposite results in week two, and the whole evaluation changes. So I would just say we need a little bit more of a sample size to say that Belichick is a bust in North Carolina. It was a terrible hire and a terrible decision on his part, and the girlfriend is, you know, distracting him, and he's not the coach he was. You know, this is what we do, right? The morning after, everything is an overreaction. I just think that we need a little bit more of a sample size to make these judgments.
There's a lot of great stuff in this book. I mean, Roger Goodell's thoughts about whether or not he should have suspended Belichick after Spygate. You know, Tom Brady Sr., his thoughts on his son's coach and Bill Belichick. I could talk to you forever. Let me ask you this, though. How is their relationship now? Do they have one between each other?
Yeah, I think Belichick has gone from having a tough relationship with Brady and smoothing that out to now having a really bad relationship with Robert Kraft. But I think it took a couple of years. Listen, there's no question that it ended poorly for Belichick and Brady. Belichick thought he was just about done. He didn't want to give him a contract extension. They agreed to let him go after the 2019 season. And there were a lot of hard feelings there. Tom didn't like getting yelled at for 20 years, especially after he'd won a handful of Super Bowls. Belichick felt like, if I can yell at the quarterback for an interception he threw, even in the game that they won 35-7, that any player knows that he can be disciplined or corrected. Because if Tom's not complaining, and Tom didn't complain, that then Belichick can, you know, treat everybody the same, and they wouldn't give him pushback on it. Well, Tom got tired of that the last 5 years. He decided, you know, like, the statute of limitations is up on me being a rookie and getting treated like a rookie and then not getting paid like the other quarterbacks are getting paid. So I think that was at the heart of their issues. But, you know, the benefit of time, I think they have come to appreciate what they meant to each other, and that there's no way they would have accomplished what they did without the other. We might never, if the Browns had drafted Brady instead of Spurgeon Wynn, would we have ever heard of Tom Brady? Mm-hmm. You know, would he have gotten swallowed up by what was still, you know, pretty much an expansion team? Or if he had gone anywhere else, would he have gotten a chance to make the team? We don't know that. What we do know is that Belichick gave him the chance, and Belichick thought he was going to be fired after the 0-1 season if he didn't win, because he was 5-11 his first year. And he was telling people around the building, and he told Jets coaches on the field before the second game of the 0-1 season, which was the game Bledsoe got hurt, that he thought he was going to get fired if he didn't turn it around that year, even though Kraft had just given up a first-round draft pick to get him. So, in essence, you know, Brady saved Belichick's coaching career, and Belichick, I won't say saved Brady's career, but he made his career by giving him the chance. So I think it took a couple of years for them both to appreciate what the other meant to him. And it kind of wiped out the hard feelings they had at the end. And I think they get along fine now. In fact, Brady consulted with Belichick before they hired Pete Carroll. And, you know, there were even reports out there that he wanted Belichick to take the job with the Raiders, even though he had already been hired in North Carolina. So I think they're okay now, but it took a few years.
The book is Brady versus Belichick. It comes out September 16th. I already am going to be taking a look at this. I cannot wait to sink my teeth into this. Some of the stuff is fantastic. Gary, all the best success with the book, and hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you so much.
Ken, if I can just tell your listeners that it's available to be pre-ordered now, if they like doing that, on Amazon or wherever, and it comes out September 16th. Brady versus Belichick, The Dynasty Debate. I like the subtitle that my editor came up with.
I love it, too. Gary, thank you so much for the time. Again, you guys can pre-order it on Amazon. It comes out September 16th. Please get it. Fantastic stuff. I know I'm going to love it. Gary, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me on, Ken. Take care.
You too. Gary Myers, the author of the book, Brady versus Belichick, The Dynasty Debate, which I'm glad I got Gary all to myself there. And Owen, thank you very much for going and getting Gary, and thank John Havana for getting Gary.
Yeah,
to make a trade.
I had to look all over.
It was not a
finally
technical.
Get him.
Yeah.
We're brought to you by Extend. He was just wandering around.
We're brought to you by Extend, XTENDAV.com. We'll talk to you Thursday. Goodbye.